As always, we're so blessed this Sunday in the Holy Scriptures that God gives to us today, free of charge, as I always like to say. He rains them down on us with such love and generosity. And maybe a theme for today, looking at all of them together, all the Scriptures, would be this one, that of hospitality. What's it mean to be a person of service, one who welcomes, one who is generous of spirit, hospitality. And you might say that perhaps the first reading from Genesis and then the Gospel from Luke, beautiful stories, give us sort of a how-to or a snapshot of what generosity looks like, hospitality looks like, I should say. And then in the middle, we have from St. Paul, writing to the people of Colossae, he gives us what might be called the heart of what it sometimes takes to be people of hospitality and generosity. So they might come together, right? Considering the first reading in the Gospel, they're paired today for a reason, intentionally, because of the hospitality theme. Let's look at them for a second, for the how-to, right? And we should do so remembering, too, that there's hospitality happening here on two levels. What we owe to each other, the hospitality to our brothers and sisters, and what we also owe to God, to each other and to God. There's those different layers that come together in these readings and in life. With that in mind, Genesis, beautiful story of Abraham and Sarah. Remember that Abraham is a nomad. He's a traveler, doesn't really have a home base. They move in tent cities back in that era. And so one day out in the desert, who appears next to his tent at his door, so to speak, but these three strangers. We know from the opening of our passage that it says that God appeared to him. He appears as three. These three angels, these three strangers, travelers. Maybe that's the Holy Trinity. Hard to say, mysterious, right? But either way, God shows up at his door. And we learn from the reading that Abraham is very eager to welcome them. He shows great hospitality. Runs to his herd, gets the best animal, slaughters it, makes a little meal for them, runs to the tent, says to his wife Sarah, quick, get something ready for our visitors. And he tells them before he does this, he begs them, please stay. Don't move on past our little dwelling here until we first have the chance to take care of you and open our doors to you. So his eagerness to show hospitality and generosity is moving and beautiful and very evident in the story. Goes out of his way to help them. What about the gospel? Something of the same is going on. God shows up there too in the town of Bethany, the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Quite likely they were friends. As the story unfolds, we know that about them. And again, like in Abraham's story, Martha and Mary welcome and open their home to Jesus. They show him hospitality and generosity. So there you have it. Those are our kind of pictures, what it means to reach out. Now, we might ask ourselves the question, was that work? Was that easy to do? And the answer is, well, no. Hospitality takes effort. Being generous exacts a price from us. It costs something, doesn't it? And people take work, let's face it. Happens all the time. So if we find ourselves wondering, well, how do you pull off these sort of visual examples, the Abraham situation of his generosity in Genesis, or the Luke situation of Martha and Mary, we arrive at St. Paul right in the middle of the readings. Paul writes to the people of Colossae, and in this piece of text that we have today, he says to us something very important. He says, look, I'm laboring on your behalf. I'm laboring for the sake of the gospel. I'm facing difficulty and persecutions. I'm exerting effort. And you know what? I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. I eagerly take on the challenge and difficulty in the cross that it is because I know it builds up the body of Christ. It's for you. And he goes on to say something kind of mysterious, as if Christ's own sacrifice isn't really complete until we, his laborers, have lived it out in our bodies and in our lives. That's where the Catholic understanding of redemptive suffering comes from. So St. Paul's trying to say, his cross lives on in my body, and I would have it no other way, because I want to be generous and hospitable to you. I know it takes effort, and I gladly embrace the effort that it takes. The cross, his, is my cross too, and that's how I want it for your sake. So if hospitality is hard, if generosity is hard, it's supposed to be, Paul would say. That's where the phrase offered up comes from. Offer up your difficulties. Do the hard things. Make the effort and realize in the process you're extending the cross through time for the benefit of others and the salvation of the world. So at the heart of hospitality is, on one level, a sense of suffering and inconvenience. That's just how it's supposed to work. This is abstract, no? What about some more concrete examples of how this plays out in the world and our lives? Because they always say the scripture stories are ours too if we pay attention. We're in them. Generosity, hospitality happens on different levels, right? How about to the world, to the neighborhood, to people who pass on the street? Hear a lot today, don't we, in the news about scary, unsettling things in this country and even around the world. You know, killings and difficulties and riots and tensions and frustrations. One answer to that, and there are many, but one important thread is the idea of hospitality. We can ask ourselves the question, as I move about the streets of my community, as I find myself working around at workplaces around town, do I exercise a sense of kindness to those who are different from me? Do I reach out with a sense of welcome? Am I hospitable? Am I patient? Am I gracious? In traffic, at the store, whatever. I don't like the word tolerance because it's too limited. We should be beyond tolerance to a sense of welcoming. We have to go out of ourselves like Abraham did, like Martha does, like St. Paul speaks about. And if we find that hard, if it's difficult, Paul would say, yeah, it's supposed to be. It's going to exact a price from you. So offer that suffering up, the internal tension of having to go out of oneself or if we're uncomfortable, for the good of the world and the neighborhood. That's hospitality on like the neighborhood social level, right? Extremely important virtue if we're going to get ourselves beyond our frustrations of the moment in our country and around the world. What about hospitality in the parishes? Another layer of it, right? Happens to happen here too. We can ask ourselves the question, is this community, St. Francis Cabrini, St. Mary's, Holy Angels, or our parish communities, are they places of real welcome for those who come to visit with us and to pray? So when folks come in, do we greet them? Are we kind? Do we give them a smile? Do we move over in the pew, or are we just locked into our chairs because they're ours, right? Now, granted, I sit that one all the time, but I have to sit there. It's not true for you, okay? And again, it takes a bit of a price, doesn't it? I mean, we should be, to be very plain about it, delighted to sit next to a family with screaming children, because St. Paul says so. Offer it up. Why? Because this is God's house. And they're welcome here. It's alive with the music of their voices as they come here with their families. You know what it's like to bring kids to church? It's hard. So are we a place that welcomes those people in our worship space? I hope that we try to be. Hospitality in the world, in the parish. What about in the home? True too, right? I mean, imagine how difficult marriage would be in family life if there was no sense of give and take or hospitality. It'd be a nightmare. The bishops, a few years ago in this country, wrote a pastoral letter on marriage, and in certain parts of it, they zero in on the virtue of hospitality as an indispensable part of married life and family life. You have to have it, they say. And as you do, life grows from it. Linking this for a second to Genesis, it's interesting to note that back in the Abraham story, right, because Abraham reached out, because he was hospitable, because he was generous and open, fertility comes to he and Sarah. They're blessed with a child because they were generous to God and with each other. And from that, the entire nation of Israel began to grow. So no hospitality, no nation. No fertility. God links those things all together. The bishops in this letter say the same kind of thing. And in fact, this is part of where our Catholic opposition to contraception and sterilization comes in. The bishops would say, and they're right, that those practices in a marriage are directly against hospitality and generosity. And we see as time plays out with our demographic disaster we're facing now around the world and here that we were right about how important this teaching is about married life and hospitality at the very heart of it to bring forth new children for the benefit of the whole world. So hospitality isn't easy. Welcoming children, either next to us in the pew or at home in the bedroom, whatever, that's never an easy thing to do. But Paul would say, we must rejoice in that suffering because it brings life, brings new life. So hospitality is the rule, right? At every level, neighborhoods, parish, home, hearts. Now, how about this? All that so far is the hospitality we owe to each other. What do we owe to God? What do we owe for him? What's his version of hospitality? Now, it's twofold. The first is everything I just got done saying. Because he's clear to us in the scriptures, if you're going to love me, you must love your neighbor. There's no separating the two. So hospitality to God is, first of all those things, like Abraham and Martha, neighborhoods, parish, home, whatnot. But then he's owed something else, something deeper, something that strikes us as very counterintuitive when we first come across it, because it's so opposed to our very Martha kind of way of running around the world. Which brings us to the one figure who messes the entire thing up, Mary. I mean, admit it, like me, you probably find Martha and Mary, the story, to be a little frustrating. Anybody who keeps house, right? Parents, if you've ever had to welcome strangers, cook meals, clean up things, I mean, you get that in this story, Mary's lazy and you like Martha better. Just say it, we don't like her, okay? Why? Mary represents the fact that God has owed something that's not utilitarian, that doesn't have a use, doesn't have a value in the usual earthly sense of the term. He's owed worship. He's owed worship. And in that, it's the higher calling, you know, the deeper one. What does Mary do? She comes, she sits right at his feet and drinks in his words. And so rather than running around busy and active like Abraham and Sarah did and like Martha did, which is important, her way of showing hospitality to God was just to listen to him, was to make room in her heart to hear him, to worship him. So if we're going to get hospitality right, not only do we need the Martha kind of sense of it, all the busyness, well-intentioned, we also must make a space in our hearts and our world that belongs only to worshiping God. So for example, one of the best, most important, and ancient ways to offer the other kind of hospitality to God is to do what you're doing right now, is to come to Mass. This is hospitality to God. You know what liturgy means? It means the work of the people. It means serving the Lord. We're serving him here by praying this morning. If we don't do this, things fall apart, no? Prayer at Mass, prayer at home, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, devotions, that's offering God the Mary kind of hospitality. Or how about this one? Take it even more to a deeper level, right? I was thinking about this week. It's interesting to me that you pay me to pray. Do you realize that? I think to myself, what do I do? What do I build? What do I manufacture? What do I accomplish? Do I have any biological children? Have I done something for the world? In the Martha kind of earthly busy sense, we're all so caught up, and the answer is no. You pay me to lead you in prayer. To do baptisms, to witness marriages, to pray at your bedside, to lead you in Mass. On one level, that's a preposterous, ridiculous thing for you to do. Because I don't make anything, right? But we make time, see, for God. So my vocation and your support of it stands in direct opposition to a world that wants to run right over the Mary idea of worshiping God. We have to have me, right? Because otherwise, it all turns into social work, doesn't it? All the exercising, all the activities, all the helping, even if well-intentioned. If we're persons who spend all our time out there helping, and never come to church, it's all a waste on one level. It becomes worship of ourselves, and our activity takes over. Something has to correct it and pull it back and elevate it to the divine. Or how about this? Let's do one better. If I'm useless, how about my friend, who is the Mother Superior of the Denmark Monastery, the Carmelites? She just prays all day. They're really useless, right? The world looks at it totally backwards. So here's the higher calling, no? Not that we're better per se, but that we represent the correction to all of our temptations to be Martha's too much of the time. Martha's a beautiful soul. So is Abraham, so is St. Paul. They understood we must serve, and that's true. But if at the heart of our service isn't a carved-out space that is worshiping of God, is prayer and contemplation, then our world literally falls into a hell. That's what happens to it. So your presence this morning is powerful. It's important. My vocation is too. My friends is too. It stands in defiance to a world that wants to run all the time. Is this hard? Yes. St. Paul, frankly, if he were in the house at Bethany, would say to Martha, offer it up. Stop complaining. And he'd be right. Sometimes our best hospitality is closing our mouths and bearing our frustrations with patience and kindness. That's hospitality too. At the end of the day, God brings this whole thing full circle because it should really motivate us to do both kinds of hospitality, to those around us, which is indispensable, and to God, our worship, and to have consecrated life. What motivates both those things is when we realize how hospitable God is to us. This morning, what's he going to do? He's going to come down on this altar and sit at our feet, if you will, and listen to us pray to him. He's going to feed us with the Eucharist. He's going to give us his word. He becomes our servant every single day. And as I take in how much he serves and loves me, how can I not give back and be hospitable to others? It pushes it all forward, you see, as love builds on love. So let's just love him. Let him love us first and reach out to love other people in the world, parishes, families, homes, and monasteries in this place. Give God and neighbors what's always their due, their right and just due, because he's done so for all of us.